Good evening. We greet you in Jesus' name this evening. We're glad to be in the house of the Lord again. I suppose for you as well as myself, I think this is the first Sunday evening since February, since I've been in church on a Sunday evening service. And so we're glad that we can do that. I want to bring you greetings from Strasburg congregation to the brothers and sisters here at Calvary. And wishing the Lord's blessing upon you all. The topic assigned to me tonight is relating to the singles among us. I think it's a good subject that I'd like to listen to. But tonight, instead of listening, I guess I'll share it with you what I've looked at. And one of the things I did was I started talking to some people that we consider singles. Who are the singles anyway? You know, if I asked you for a raise of hands of who of you are single, I'd be curious as to who would raise their hand and who wouldn't. And as I thought about that, who are the singles among us? I thought about young adults that are not married. I've thought about there's widows and widowers among us that are single as well. I think tonight's subject, though, is probably more geared to older adults that are not married. And as I canvassed a few people, I asked them, I said, so tell me, how is your congregation relating to you and how are you relating to your congregation? One individual, he said like this, well, he says, I was invited to be chorister at a wedding. And he says, don't ask me why, but at the reception, I was set between two bishops. And they began to converse. And the one said, we got a problem. There's a lot of singles among us that aren't married. Why? Then he told me the one on the other side said, there's a lot of singles among us. What can we do to minister to them? He says, the first one, he says, I wasn't too sure about. He says, I was wondering. And it is true as I think about it. I tried to think about over time a little bit. In my day and age, if you weren't married by the time you were 21, you were not wrapped tight, okay? And so that's where I was. I was about 22 and a half, something like that, before I got married. In my era of time, I was an older one to get married, okay? But today, that age is higher. I think, we're talking about 25, even 30. And there's a number of reasons why that could be. Economics is one of them. There was a day when people didn't get married until they had enough of money to afford to be married. To have a vehicle, a way of transportation, whether it was a horse and buggy or whether it was a car. Be able to afford a reasonable house to live in, either by renting or buying. And for sure, they did not get married if they didn't have enough of money to go on a honeymoon. And there was a day when economics were so bad that you didn't even go on a honeymoon. You got married and went to work in the afternoon. Exceptional, yes, that's true. But as I think about, you know, as I think about this, relating to the singles among us, I think the burden of the message, the burden that is among us is, why are single people that are older? And I'm going to put it in the age bracket, 21 to 30. I'm just going to, you know, you can put whatever age you want to in there, but that's just what I'm looking at. You know, so why aren't they? Well, you know, as I was got to looking at this subject, you know, there's an awful lot of single people that is talked about in the Bible. In fact, the greatest person, the greatest teacher in the Bible was a single person, Jesus Christ. He never married. What about the Apostle Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament? I know there's some argument out there that he was married. Well, if he was, I don't read about it. Some say that he was part of the Sanhedrin, and to be part of the Sanhedrin, you had to be a married person. I couldn't find that he was a member of the Sanhedrin either. I probably lean towards the fact that the Apostle Paul was not married, but he sure had a lot of instruction for marriage, for not being a married person. So the question is, do you need experience to be able to teach? I think that Proverbs says that experience is the secondary way of learning. If you learn from the mistakes of others is the better way of learning, okay? That's what Proverbs has to say. You know, as I was thinking about relating to these individuals that we consider to be single, how is relating to singles any different than relating to anybody else? Should it be different? You fellows that are employers, does it matter to you if your employee is married or single? School boards, does it matter to you if your teachers are married or singles? I don't think it should matter as to how they qualify, whether they're married or whether they're not. There are a number of occupations that do lend themselves to one or the other, though. That's true. But as I think about in the scriptures, the number of individuals that are single, I mentioned Paul already. How about John the Baptist? In Luke 2, we have Anna, who was a widow. She was single, but she was the one that said about seeing the Savior when they brought Jesus as a baby into the temple. She was one of those that recognized Jesus as a Savior. I'm going to read a little bit later about Mary and Martha and Lazarus. I believe they were all three single individuals. What about Jeremiah? Prophet Jeremiah. What about Nehemiah? I think the work that they were involved in, probably singlehood would have been very beneficial. How about the prophet Daniel? Go back into Exodus 1. How about the midwives there? Shiphrah and Purah. The midwives that are mentioned there. I think they were single. Later on in that chapter, it says that God gave them houses. What about Rahab? Rahab the harlot. I think she was single, but she later became the mother of Boaz because she was faithful to what God had to say. As I think about this subject of singles and relating to the singles, one of the things I think that we need to learn to do is to treat our singles that are among us the same as those that are married among us. The fellow said a little bit like this: the church should provide an honored and valued place in our congregation. We should do that with each and every person that is in our congregations. Let's turn to Luke. I want to read first out of Luke 7, beginning at verse 36. Jesus is invited to a man's house for a meal, and a lady comes in. And the Pharisee had a bit to say about her. And then Jesus had a few teachings about relating here. So let's take a look. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with an ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little was forgiven, the same loveth a little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Now, I know there's a lot of different lessons that we could take from this particular scripture. But what I want us to look at is, how did Jesus relate to these individuals? Okay, we talked about the negative attitude that we sometimes give, the vibes that we give, that someone is of lesser value, is secondary. And as Jesus was there at this feast, this Pharisee had something to say. In verse 39, if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she's a sinner. Okay, a secondary person. She's a sinner. Now, in our society today, we can't quite visualize this whole thing here. We can't visualize being at a meal and some woman coming in and anointing someone's head, especially a man, kissing his feet, etc. We just, you know, that's outside of my way of thinking. But in this culture, that's what was happening here. And the Pharisee had a negative feeling, and Jesus called him out on that. There are times, I think, that whenever we see negative vibes being given out, I think that it's okay to call that out. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. Then Jesus went on to say, he says, Simon, I want you to consider something. And he went on to say exactly what this lady did. And says, you didn't do any of that. When I came in, you gave me no water to wash my feet. You didn't give me any kiss or a welcome. And you didn't do anything to comfort me. You didn't anoint me with oil like this woman. You didn't give me any comfort at all. And he was pointing out to this Pharisee that there are those who recognize that there is more in their experience that does not line up to the character of who God is. And so there's more appreciation. Okay? I'm going to leave that story. Let's move on over to Luke chapter 10. And again, towards the end of the chapter, in verses 38 through 42. We have two ladies here, Mary and Martha. Verse 38, Luke chapter 10. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Okay, again, I want us to take a look at how Jesus related to these two ladies. I think they were single ladies. He was a single man. They were single ladies. He comes into the house and sits down. But Mary sits there and wants to learn from Jesus, to be taught. Martha is busy serving, you know, getting things ready, getting a meal ready. All those things that go along with hospitality, that was good. But Jesus said, Martha, I want to tell you something. You're fussing about your sister not helping you. But really, your problem is you are just torn this way and that way. You don't know which direction you're going for sure. You're just worried about life way too much, more than you ought to. You need to take a little time to sit down and be taught. That's what Mary was doing. Okay? We need to learn to do that. I just want to quickly turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. And this really isn't necessary within the context of the sermon tonight, but I think the principles are here in verse 1 and verse 2. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 1, he says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity. Okay, is what he's saying. Okay, whenever you are socializing, he says, here's what I want you to do. Okay, those that are older than you, I want you to treat them as a father. Okay, now, you think about how you would respond to your father. That's how we are to relate to those who are older than us. And he goes on to say, the younger, those that are younger, treat them as your brother. And I'd like to say like this, not a sibling that is about 2 to 12 years old. I'm talking about siblings that are a little older, that don't fight quite so much, okay? Treat them as brothers, and the older women that are among us, to treat them as our mothers, respectfully. And also the sisters, younger ones, as sisters. Okay, there it is. That's how we are to approach and to speak to those. Now, I want to come back here to Luke a little bit. And I see Jesus approaching Mary and Martha this way. He was talking to them as sisters and giving them a spiritual instruction. And saying, you know, there's a couple of things I want you to take a look at, and I want you to learn to get along. And we have two different personalities here. Martha was an individual, let's get something done. A performance-based individual. Mary didn't seem quite so much that way in this particular passage here. One of the things I think that we need to learn in relating specifically to the singles among us is we need to figure out who they are, what their interests are, and then we're ready to move on from there. Several years ago, when I was a teenager, I was visiting, our family went down to visit an uncle of mine, and he was a quiet person, one of the most difficult people to visit with that I know of. You get a, yeah, no. You didn't get much to go on. He's one of those. And while they were chatting there a little bit, I just looked down beside me, and there was his magazine rack, and I picked out a magazine, Antique Cars. These are kind of interesting to me, and so said, I see you got this magazine here, Antique Cars. That day, I learned that he was into antique cars. I never knew my uncle could talk so much in all my life. The lesson that I learned was you have to figure out where their interests are. Not where my interests are, but where theirs is. And go from there. That's one way of relating. If we go over to John 11, we have another Mary and Martha. John 11, beginning at verse 1. Excuse me, it's actually the same Mary and Martha. It says, now there was a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Excuse me, let's start over there. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And I won't read all of that, but we have the discourse that Jesus had with his disciples and also with Martha. But it says that Mary just sat there. Okay, there was a time of bereavement here. Martha was a lot more talkative. Mary was very bereaved, and then they went out to the grave site where Lazarus was, and they said, you know, he's been there quite a while. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone, Martha, and the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Okay. Now what I want to take a look at here is that last verse where Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. Told him there to unravel the grave clothes that he was bound in. Now I want to come back and talk about relating to the singles. Did you ever find yourself without anything to say to the singles that are among us? Or did the conversation just kind of go flat? Nothing to talk about. One of the things that I think that we need to learn to do is to unwrap the grave clothes that keep us bound. When Jesus told them to loose Lazarus and let him out of the grave, that winding was binding Lazarus in the grave and he couldn't walk, he couldn't be free. The same is true with us. When we don't know how to relate, there's a certain binding that we have. And God is saying, it's up to you and it's up to me to learn how to talk to that individual. And now I've got a lot of wrappings that need unwrapped yet. Yeah, I'll confess that to you. That to loosen those. Let me explain just a little bit. This isn't relating necessarily to singles, but I think you'll get the idea and the principle that I'm driving at as well. It's kind of a two-way street. And I told you earlier about the one young man said that he was kind of offended a little bit because this person beside him wondered what's wrong with these people that are still single. He says, I was a little miffed, but he says, maybe I'm a little bit too sensitive, too. There's that side of it. Now, I'm going from a story. I was at a congregation several years ago that I knew absolutely nobody at that congregation but two people. The one was a widow that didn't go to church because of her age, and the other one was her single daughter. Now, we agreed to go along with them to church. We were visiting there overnight, and we agreed with them to go to church. And there was an old order setting, and they invited us to go. And I said, well, it says, is your service going to be in English or in Dutch? They said, ours are in English. I said, okay, I says, we'll go. So we went, and we were some of the first ones there. And I didn't know where they sit, how they sit in church. So we just waited till some other ones went in. And then I figured out they sit just like you do, the men on this side and the ladies on this side. So I went up and I sat down about the middle with my three boys, sat down there, and it filed in. And the church was over. The amen was said. I never saw this before nor since. But when amen was said, that church emptied out on both sides nearly. They just split out the back door they went. My three boys and I were left standing there, and I looked around, now what do we do? Well, after a while, I ventured my way out the back door and kind of stood around her a little bit and waited till my wife got done talking with the ladies. And funny, there was two gentlemen left. The one got in his buggy and headed out the driveway. The other one come moseying over, and Well, he says, it looks like you must be a stranger here. I said, yeah, I says, yeah, I don't know a soul. Well, he says, I thought maybe I ought to come over and at least say hello to you. And, you know, I was a little bit like that boy I was telling you about earlier. I was a little bit miffed. I said, man, today, this is the most unhospitable congregation I've ever been to. But, you know, the Bible does say, judge not that you be not judged. You know, it wasn't long until the Lord said to me, you know, you weren't no better than what you thought they were. You didn't go talk to them either. And from that day forth, I decided when somebody visits our congregation, they're going to get a hello before they're the last one there. I think we should do that. And that's what we need to do with our singles as well. We need to make a way for them. Okay. You know, what is binding us? Why don't we include them? Sometimes it's because we don't know how. Another story about overcoming some of this. I had a brother that had MS, multiple sclerosis, and his life deteriorated more and more, and there was a lot of individuals that he grew up with that he hadn't talked to for a long time. But he was telling me he was at a setting one time where a young man that he grew up with was there, and he wanted to talk to him. But as he would make his way there, this fellow would just kind of dodge him a little bit. Well, eventually, is what happened was, he went by the door. You know, there's only one door. There might be more than one door out of here, but I'm used to that one back there. Each one sitting back there, and the only way out was he had to go right past him right around. God, my brother's name happened to be Claire, and this fellow walks up and he said, well, he says, what do I say? You know why we avoid people? Because we don't know what to say. Why don't we know what to say? It's because we don't invest ourselves enough in the situation to find out. There are times when people may have idiosyncrasies that can kind of be embarrassing depending on who we are, who we think we are. But you know, when you get to know those individuals and you find out why they do what they do, it makes a world of difference on how you can relate to them. When you get to know them well enough, and no, you're not going to find this out in the first hour that you meet somebody, but you're going to find out where their values are, what they wish they could do, and what they know they can't do, and then you can walk alongside them. You can relate to them. But until you find that out, you don't know how to relate to that. And that can be on a church level. That can be in the workplace. That can be in a number of organizations. In our schools, we run into this kind of thing. You know, we have, in our schools, we have behavior problems. Well, why is that? Sometimes when we learn to know who people are, when we get down in the mud beside them, we can help clean it up. But until we get down there, it's a little hard to do. So what I'm saying is, unless we get with our individuals, in this case I'm talking about singles, find out what their heartbeat is, where they are, we're not going to be able to walk alongside them. But here Jesus did. He walked alongside Martha, beside Mary, and a whole host of other ones as well. Okay, well, I think I'll leave off the stories about Mary and Martha a little bit and just talk maybe what are some practical things that we can do in relating to our singles. One individual I was talking with, I was asking him about this. Well, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, I have an interest in music, and so-and-so knows that too. And so he invites me along with him to go to special singings. And on the two-hour ride there, they have a lot of conversation. That's something that we can do. What is something that we can be involved in? You know, it doesn't have to be music. It can be any other interest that an individual has. It can be your hobby. But invite them to go along with you. Work groups. Yeah, we need to include our singles in our work groups. Witness groups, going to New York, going to Pittsburgh, you know, those different kind of things. Now think about hospitality. You know, singles like to be invited to meals as well. For me, you know, when I come in from my work, supper's usually ready. Now when I get up in the morning, I got clean clothes. And you know, I think I can open that drawer with my eyes shut and I can pick out the clothes that I need. There's a reason for that. But you know what? If you're single, when you get home from work, guess what? You don't eat until you prepare it. Your clothes don't get clean unless you wash them. Your house is dirty unless you sweep it. So they're, you know, involved in all of those kind of things that people like me just take for granted. Yeah, include them in. My question is, you know, why don't we? Or why can't we? Another one I have written down here is be sensitive to comments we make. Avoid embarrassing statements. You know, sometimes people make comments and they have no idea how insensitive it may sound. And the person has no intention of being insensitive at all. Got comments such as, well, what's taking you so long to get dating anyway? You don't know what their life story is. Perhaps a young man has asked and has been turned down, already feeling rejection. Don't ask those kind of questions. Don't even venture them. Well, on the other side of the house over here, what do we do about young ladies that never get asked? What are they to do? Let's be sensitive to those kind of things. You know, the question could be asked by us married people. Well, I was invited to go to a picnic, but it was just a bunch of single fellows. I didn't think I was going, didn't want to go there. Well, you don't know who all else they perhaps invited as well. You know, those things about learning who each other are and taking an interest in each other is important. There was a farmer one time that had a number of boys that could not afford farms for all of his boys. And the one went to be an engineer, a civil engineer. And so when they would get together as a family, Dad would say, well, son, what are you working at now? Well, son would try his best to explain what he's doing, but engineers use words that I'd have to take a dictionary along to know what they're talking about. Those sort of things. And the son made an attempt to converse with his dad. Well, the day came. The day came that Dad died. Sad day, yes. The boy went home from the funeral, went to his closet, picked up his stack of successful farming, and took them and threw them in the trash. Then the day came when it was time to clean up Dad's stuff. They were cleaning up Dad's stuff, and in the back room, he came upon a stack of Engineering Today. You got the picture? The one made an effort to get a little bit of an idea, to talk intelligently with the occupation the other one was involved in, that they could talk about it. I don't know about this side, what for magazines you'd use. I have no idea. But, this relating thing, how do we relate to that? The day has come probably, I know it has. I know a little bit more about material and sewing than what I did years ago. But believe me, I'm not going to try to make anything. But at least I understand a little bit what's going on. And it's helpful that way. Are we relating to those that are among us? The early church, the widows had a need. It says the Grecian widows felt they were neglected. And in our churches, I think sometimes that our singles feel neglected unless there's a job, something has to be done. I've heard comments like this. Well, somebody needed to do it, so they ask us to do it. Let's try not to make it just a job. Our singles need to feel valued, and they need to feel honored among us the same as anyone else. Let us pray.